And we are on. It's Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. It's Tuesday evening, and as you all know, Tuesday evening is my favorite time of the week. Why? Because I get to play with you. I get to be curious and engaged in life, and I get an opportunity to interview. Excuse me, I'm wiping my nose. I get an opportunity to get curious and engaged with people. My show is for ordinary people living extraordinary lives, doing what makes them happy, doing what engages them, and they get to go beyond their potential and live life their way. So tonight we have a really good show. I'm really excited, actually. We have the youngest person that I've ever had on my show so far. And it's really exciting to have a young person that is up to some crazy stuff, like some wonderful, amazing, I say crazy in the positive sense, stuff whereby she's using her time to get information, share information, and even get on the talking circuit. Yay, I think that's awesome. So, so in just in a little bit of a moment, we're going to hear about her name is Megan Gohl. I always want to call you Megan Mole.
I'll take anything.
It's Megan Mole. And but first I want to talk about like what I've been up to. So in the last week or so, I launched a new program for myself, which is called Lunch Lady. Lunch Lady, feed your brain and grow your business and your life. And so what Lunch Lady is, it's a platform for women and the occasional manbassador. People in business. It's about educating, networking, and creating opportunities to grow and develop the self and business. And my mission is to create courageous spaces so people can access their internal blueprint and what I also say is their own North Star by growing their life, their business, and connecting with other people who are a demand for them to make money. My observation in that being with NABO for the last 2 years, is that a lot of women have a problem with saying that word money, asking for money, dealing with money, anything to do with money. A lot of women who start new businesses, they will barter the living daylights out of it. And then what will happen is that they have to go back to some job. So what Lunch Lady knows is that it's not easy to start a business, but you start a business to do what you love and to get paid for it. And crippling fear can stop you from taking action. Business has a language all of its own, and I'm committed that we find your language, you find your language. And for many women, I say they don't have a plan B. I don't have a plan B. Neither do I want a plan B. I'm really committed to what I'm doing. And I don't have a hobby, and I certainly don't have a hubby, so I don't have anybody to lean on. It's just me. And if it doesn't work, I'm shit out of luck. Excuse my language. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is for other women. So Lunch Lady is really committed that you feed your brain, grow your business, get courageous, and start talking about that thing that we're here to create, which is create money, because women need money. We need money more than men, I say. Oftentimes, a man can wear the same suit, change the tie, and he can cut his hair with nail clippers. Women can't do that. We need money for a lot of things to, you know, all this cuteness, right? So Lunch Lady starts on the 24th of September at Serendipity Labs, and the first session that we're doing is talking about thought leadership. So I am really excited, and I'm raring to go. And so that's what I've been working on for the last week. My head's been down, and I've been in the cafeteria. No, not really, not the cafeteria. But anyway, so lesson B, and let's get on with the show. So welcome, Megan Gohl. To the show. So just a little background information. Megan is 17 years old and she wrote a paper called Analyzing the Foundation of Gender Inequality Through Competitive High School Debating During Adolescence. I don't know about you, but when I wasn't 17, I wasn't writing any papers, especially about, you know, this kind of stuff. I'd write a paper about the latest club or dancing or something like that, clothes and fashion, yeah. But never about debating. So welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. So you sent me an email in the summer wanting to volunteer for NABO when I was volunteering for NABO myself.
Yeah.
And you sent me your paper, and I actually was blown away by what you have done.
Yeah.
And you said you wanted to volunteer. You know, like most people want to volunteer. It's like move chairs around, register people, say hello, make coffee and stuff like that. But after reading your paper, I was like, hell no, this girl has to have a platform to speak. So what was that like for you?
It was like, it was so exciting because, I mean, like now everyone is asking me about this story, like my teachers and friends and stuff. They're like, how did you even get this opportunity? And I was like, well, I kind of wanted it. Right. So I had to like reach out and find ways to make it happen, because a lot of the other research that like students do in my age is like biology research, which is like really focused on like in lab focus with like DNA and all that kind of stuff. And that wasn't the type of research I was doing. So I had to find my own platforms to talk about it, because it was really impactful personally to me, where like, you know, looking at DNA and stuff wasn't as like personally impactful. So I don't know. I was looking through the web, and NABO, always been interested in working with them for like so long. So
how
I just
so long at 17?
I don't know.
I'm 10.
No, like maybe like throughout high school, like looking at different organizations about like women's empowerment. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna email a bunch of the people in the organization and see if anyone's interested in even like talking to me or giving me some ideas of what to do. I thought I was gonna be serving lunch at NABO. I didn't think I would be like talking.
Girl, you met me. I am not gonna allow you to serve lunch.
I thought I was gonna be the lunch lady.
No. And the kind of lunch lady that you would be is not the kind that would be serving green stuff and serving lunch to people. Hell no. It was, you know, after looking at the work that you had done, I was like, you deserve the platform. And I would not allow. So when I called you back after reading your, because you emailed it to me, and was it a day or two I got back to you?
Like 10-15 minutes, you're like, send me the paper. And I was working with the UN at that moment during the summer, so I was like with my friends at this like UN program where we were like interning at, and I'm like, guys, I have to like send my paper, and it's like 2 a.m or something, because I saw you emailed back at like 10:30, and we saw later on after doing all our work, and I was like, what just happened? And I didn't even expect a reply, honestly.
Well, you know, I sent it back because I was just responding back. I guess I was up late or something. I don't even know. Everything's surreal these days. And I just saw it and I said, you know what? Let me just email it back. I wasn't expecting you to get back to me right away. I was expecting
you to answer quickly.
Yeah. I mean, which is good, which is a good thing, right? I figured you'd get back to me in a day or two. Mm-hmm. But that's really good because you were hungry and you wanted it. So you responded right away. So that was really good. My mouth not big enough? So, go ahead. Tell me the rest of the story. So you emailed me back.
Yeah, I emailed you back. I sent you the paper. And you were like, let's schedule a phone call to talk about it. And I didn't know what you wanted to talk about at that point. I was personally like, maybe she just thought my research was cool and she was going to, you know, give me some words of motivation. But I totally didn't expect you giving me like the opportunity to talk for NABO and like bring so many people together to talk about really important research and findings in like this field of gender inequality, especially in academia and stuff.
So you wrote this paper, I called you, I gave you a platform. So when were you expecting a platform to happen?
So usually the course that the research program at my school kind of sets you up for is doing the contests that are for high school students.
Right.
And it kind of ends at that.
Right.
But I don't know, my research, not to be like that person that's like,
you can be that person.
I'm so different.
No, you can be that person. Be that person.
But, you know, the research was like personally impactful to like the experiences I went through and debate and, you know, other male dominated clubs and academia and stuff. So I kind of really wanted to find ways to talk about it, whether it was just through my friends or, you know, going to be able to speak at NABO and, you know, all the opportunities I'm getting now to be able to talk about it. And this year, you know, actually doing those contests for high school students and stuff too on the side. And it's crazy to say like those contests are my side thing with this project now, because it's become so much bigger than that and people asking me about it and stuff.
Right. So you did the talk at NABO. What was that like for you, doing like standing in front of that room? No, I just want you to know that you were great.
Thank you.
I mean, I was like completely moved. I was so choked up, right?
I was so choked up.
I was. I really was blown away because it's just a conversation that's dear to my heart,
yeah.
Right? Is women and gender biases and things like that. And I'm really about geeing women up to go out and get what they want and ask for what they mm-hmm. want. So it was really nice. It was really wonderful to sort of look into the future and say, oh, it is going to shift.
Yeah.
You know, because you're shifting it.
Yeah.
So what was it like for you?
Oh my God, it was actually one of the best days ever. Like, there was such an outpour of love and like the people that I met, and you know, I brought some of my friends and stuff, and they were happy too. They were like networking with other women and stuff, and that's completely what I wanted. Uh-huh. Like, the biggest part of this to me was like bridging that intergenerational gap, because right. my research is not just about academia, but it also kind of bridges a gap into looking at the workforce and, you know, gender bias in that right. too, and trying to find how it's mechanized through our youth and then used in the workforce later on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it kind of let me just see how like girls my age were impacted, but also, you know, so many people older than me actually cared about what
no,
I was
I'm
saying
really your
and
age,
stuff.
I'm kidding. Go
ahead. You go know, ahead. But like so many people were like just caring about it and, you know, went through a different experience that like girls my age, they have so many more opportunities now that we really are. I said that so many times that day, but like standing on the shoulders of giants. And mm-hmm. that really is one of like the biggest messages of gratitude that mm-hmm. I have. Like, you know, there are these biases, but I think the latter half of my presentation, which focused on how we can solve them and how we can like work together and stuff mm-hmm. was the most important part to it. Right. And that's what made me happy, that that's what people took away from it. Not just sadness from, you know, there are biases, but you know, we can move on past this and we can work together and we can work with businesswomen like the ones at NABO to try to create a better future right. because that's what it's all about. To me.
Right. Awesome. Great. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And so we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm speaking to Megan Gall. Well, you know,
I really like that nickname.
I really do. Like, and the truth of the matter is, everybody knows if I don't mess up your name, we're not having a good show.
Yeah.
So Megan Gall, who yes. is a high school student, 17 years of age, and she wrote a paper analyzing the foundation of gender inequality through competitive school debating during adolescence. So what had you create this paper?
So, I mean, I've kind of been involved in, like, working towards gender equality for like a long time, mm-hmm. even if, you know, I'm in high school, so it's been in like small pursuits in the clubs that I'm in, but, you know, starting in high school, working with Girls Learn International and fundraising and, you know, working with like the Borgen Project. I direct, I regionally direct that, and we work towards
What's
global
the Borgen Project?
It's a global fundraising nonprofit that mm-hmm. works towards gaining that lobbies for foreign aid. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I focus for foreign aid mm-hmm. projects and bills for women abroad mm-hmm. and trying mm-hmm. to get like microloans, opportunities for mothers to be able to care for their children, oh, cool. educational opportunities and stuff. So it's always kind of been a big part of who I am. And I've always kind of been a bit of a like a loud mouth mm-hmm. as like a girl. And
well,
I've
that's
been,
good.
Yeah. I mean, at 10, I kind of cut my own bangs and mm-hmm. I always wanted to wear glitter on my like eyes. And, you know, I was always confused as to why people said, no, why are you doing that? That's a little bit much. So
you've always been a little bit much.
I've always been a little bit much. And I think I'm kind of okay with embracing
That's
that.
Right.
I think it's
Embrace
cool
it.
To be a little much,
Absolutely.
Honestly. So.
You don't want to be ordinary.
I don't know why I would
you
want
have
to be
to
ordinary.
Be who you are, which is yeah. much, and be proud of it. Hold yeah. on to it and be proud of it. So tell me, so you've done a lot of school debating, and
yes.
So these biases of what you saw when you were debating.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that.
So I kind of was led into this project because I started debating in freshman year, and it kind of started as like a small after school activity that I was doing, but it transformed into something so much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I started going to like tournaments independently.
Is this because your teacher saw something in you?
We have a debate team at
right.
our school. So I was part of the debate team.
Right.
And so, you know, the more and more I got involved, especially through my second year, I started going to tournaments by myself,
right.
like throughout the country, like Harvard and Columbia and all that stuff.
So your parents didn't take you?
No, my parents came
oh,
with me.
Oh, okay.
But,
I
mean, but
ahead.
Like,
I
like the school wasn't
yeah,
like taking me
yes.
with that. And so I was, the more and more I was on the national circuit was when I was starting to notice, you know, experiences that me and my teammates were going through and other girls were going through in the debate sphere. And it wasn't just in debate, it was in other like male dominated clubs too, like research, where, you know, girls were kind of expected to focus on a certain type of topic to mm-hmm. you know, do well at contests.
So what's some of those topics?
You know, so focusing on strict like biochemistry, engineering kind of topics, and, you know, my like social science, behavioral science kind of topic was a little out there, and people were confused, like, why is she doing that? Like, that's not going to do too well at these like contests and stuff. But it ended up doing pretty well, and I was mm-hmm. pretty proud of the project. And, you know, a lot of times with research, because I've done like the biochem research, I've worked at like places where I've done like epilepsy research and like mm-hmm. scoliosis research and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. This was like more of a passion project because it was experiences that I'd gone through, like
right.
with like boys always like telling girls like, hey, like she's probably not that smart if she's like wearing a dress and heels like that. But if you're wearing like pants and flats, you're too prudish. And, you know, those double standards
so
that
basically,
we always experience.
So is it kind of like you wore, because you are pretty fashionable.
Yeah.
Right. And you looked pretty fly that day when you were doing the talk. So,
yeah.
yeah. I mean, you didn't look like geeky or any of that kind of stuff. So is it like because you didn't look plain Jane, geeky
yeah.
type, they thought that maybe you were a bimbo type of thing?
A little bit. I mean, I was always the kind of girl that like, would, I didn't really care. Like, I'd show up in my dress and, you know, maybe I'd wear sneakers with my dress and I'd wear like purple eyeshadow
mm-hmm.
and I felt cool and I felt confident like that. And I didn't really pay attention to when people told me like, hey, that's a little much, because, you know, I wasn't actually wearing anything inappropriate. It was
right.
more so just like I was trying to be fashionable.
Right. You've been fashionable. That's
yeah.
what you do at 17.
Like, nothing was too short or
right.
anything. Like, I always made sure to be professional, but you still have that like kind of standard of like, like, what is the in between, honestly?
I don't
like,
know.
Like, I can't find the in between.
Like, I don't know what it is.
So like, it was always like, if someone's always gonna like critique it, why don't I just like keep wearing my purple eyeshadow? Like,
absolutely.
I'm gonna be happy that way.
Exactly.
Way.
And your purple eyeshadow doesn't say anything about how you write, how you speak, or anything.
Yeah.
So go ahead, tell me more.
I don't know. So
go ahead. You are wearing your purple eyeshadow, you're debating these things, and you're seeing something show up that you're not comfortable with.
Yeah, so boys are generally like overpowering girls in these debates. Every girl that I've known in the club seems to be less confident than boys, which was a big part of the study that mm-hmm. I looked at and stuff, like confidence of girls in this activity. And, you know, just girls experiencing comments from male judges,
mm-hmm.
male coaches.
For instance, like...
like the dress code kind of idea. Like, you know, there's schools that I know across the country that their coaches tell them, if you're not wearing a dress and like a pearl necklace, then we don't want you coming to our like tournaments.
Okay.
They tell girls, which is a little much. It's like, why shouldn't they wear
17.
Pants?
Why am I wearing a pearl necklace unless it's like fashionable and Madonna did that already?
No, like if you want to wear pants, I don't know, I say you wear your pants kind of thing. Right. And fashion, a lot of people kind of like dismiss that when I talk about like gender empowerment and stuff, but I do think that's a big part of it, because you know, the first thing that you see when you meet someone is like that outward
exterior.
And you know, fashion's a big part of it, and I think empowering girls fashion was one of like the first parts of gender like equality and trying to empower girls and looking at like fashion historically, because right. I really like history, I'm a big history fan.
Right.
So like looking at like medieval fashions and all the different queens like Queen Elizabeth like breaking fashion rules, even though they're wearing like these huge mm-hmm. gowns mm-hmm. in like the courts and stuff, like mm-hmm. where they met with all the other like dukes and duchesses and stuff, like this was a big deal.
Right.
You know, like suddenly someone's wearing white powder all mm-hmm. over their face, that's a fashion statement.
Absolutely.
And you know, like there's those women that like create power from that, and I always thought that was kind of cool, where like
love it.
I could, my purple eyeshadow was my white powder that like Queen Elizabeth kind of wore.
That's right.
I always
that's
had
right.
my
your superpower
way, but, yeah,
your fashion was your superpower
a little bit. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And like the brains is, you know, it's there too if you like talk to me, but if right. you like if you stare too long at the purple eyeshadow, maybe
it'll mesmerize you.
Maybe you'll just get confused. I don't really right. know.
So on a scale of like, because you had mentioned at NABA a rating on a scale of 1 to 10, where the women fall and where the boys fall.
So men, the one part of the study was looking at like male and female confidence. We conducted a bunch of like debates and stuff in a study in like a college clinical class. And so men rated themselves at a confidence level about 9 mm-hmm. out of 10, whereas females, it was about 3 out of 10,
right.
which is so like horrible and confusing to see, because, you know, they were given the same exact prepared materials,
right.
the same like courses and preparation before all the debates and stuff.
Right.
So it was kind of confusing to see that afterwards, the girls being so defeated when, you know, a lot of times like someone from the outside, like who wasn't judging and stuck in that bubble of like, you know, being part of the study as a participant, you could see like they were performing just as well.
Right. Or even better.
Or even better, you right. know?
But do you, okay, so I'm asking you a question that you could possibly know from your studies. You could also know from just your day to day. But do you find that women, older women, mm-hmm. are lacking in a certain kind of confidence as well?
I think it depends. I think the coolest thing about this kind of discussion is that every woman is so different. And mm-hmm. I feel as long as a woman is like expressing themselves the way they want to be expressed mm-hmm. and seen, I think that's the best for them.
Right.
And so as long as, you know, I think the biggest issue right now, as I said earlier, was like kind of bridging that gap between mm-hmm. the youth and, you know, middle-aged older women
mm-hmm.
so that they can get opportunities, but also kind of understand how to like wage conflict and, you know, find their way through the workforce and mm-hmm. stuff. And, you know, trying to decrease that judgment
right.
between the two groups.
Right.
Because I feel like a lot of older people can have judgment for younger people as like, you know, what are these?
What are some of the judgments that you hear? I mean, I hear a good amount of judgments, but what are some of the judgments that you've actually heard said, maybe not to you, but like just an overall conversation?
A lot of like the fashion idea I've heard a lot, because I really do like fashion and I do, you know, try to express myself however I can.
That's what you're supposed to do. You're
I've
young
heard
person.
That. I've heard that in like research and debate kind of spheres and stuff, where it's like really professional, really like super strict and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of still wear what I want and I get a little bit of backlash from mm-hmm. it here and there, but I keep doing that. But I mean, I see a lot of other girls just like oftentimes like feeling uncomfortable
right.
in these spheres. Not just because of those things, but like from other male peers and older like coaches telling mm-hmm. them, you know, you're being too loud in this kind of arena or,
mm-hmm.
but like these types of arenas that are literally about speaking,
mm-hmm.
like research, even research contests are about like articulating your research, because
right.
you can have the best studies in the world. You can solve cancer, but if you can't articulate it, you know, you won't get like the support for it. You
right.
won't get it applied into clinical settings. You
right.
won't have any, you know, acknowledgement of your research. Mm-hmm. So I think like that's the biggest part of it, but just like empowering girls and telling them like that they can be loud and it's like okay to be loud,
but
like you should be as loud as you want.
Right. Nobody's going to tell you that you can be loud, because I'm loud.
Yeah.
I've always been loud.
Yeah.
Right. That's probably why we gel. But I've always been loud. It's always be quiet. It's always you talk too much, this, that, and the other. Right.
Yeah.
And what do I do now? And everything I do is practically talking.
Yeah.
Right. But the fact is you have to do you. You have mm-hmm. to actually choose this. This is who I am. Because if you got quiet, that would be out of your wheelhouse. That would not be your natural state of being, would it?
Yeah.
So you have to own that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to own that. I'm going to hear this from people. But I have to make my loudness count.
Yeah.
Right? I have to speak. I say in my coaching, when I coach people, I say, own your voice, speak your truth, and live life your way.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you'll be living life somebody else's way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be just out of your natural comfort zone and you'll just diminish.
Yeah.
Your confidence will wane and you'll just diminish as a person.
And sometimes it's hard not to fall into that. Like in debate, you know, I keep going back to it, but that's kind of the big basis
that's the big
of the
basis
study.
Of the, yes.
So as captains, as being a captain myself, and they're also being male captains, you know, the male captains get away with a lot more rhetoric of when they're encouraging our teammates and telling them, make them cry in the round, kill them out there, dirty, aggressive kind of
right,
words.
Right, right.
But if I talk that way, because I get aggressive as a captain, I want my teammates
what do
to
you
win.
Say to your team? What do you
I'm like, you can make them you're gonna make them cry today,
right.
Kind of thing. I'm not
so
really,
you tell them the basic, go out and kick some off.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I can kind of like that. And I was told you're going to scare them away from the club. I'm like, but they were laughing. They were excited. 5 minutes before I was saying all that, they were about to fall asleep.
Right.
You got to give them something to be excited for.
Right.
This is what debate is about,
right.
Honestly.
So you're a motivator and you're you inspire your group. Too.
I mean, we just got a new group since school started, the new incoming freshmen and stuff. But I think that's the greatest way to encourage them, encouraging them that it's fun. It doesn't have to be so preppy and polished and that kind of thing.
Go out there and kill it.
Yeah. You have a week to prepare for the tournament that we have this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to be able to learn all the logistics, all the jargon, all the fancy professional parts of debating. But what you can learn is to be confident,
right.
And speak out for yourself, because that's the only way you're going to win the round,
right.
At this point, after
right.
only having a week of training,
right.
Kind of thing.
All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I am with my guest, Megan Moll, who I like to call Megan Goal. But, you know, if I haven't messed up somebody's name, we're not having a good show. So, Megan, tell me, I want to know, like you said, you inspire your new teammates. You got these new teammates. When you first started, you were nervous and scared, but you had a cousin who was very inspiring and kept you going. So look at you now. You're killing it, right?
Yeah.
And so now you have these group of freshman girls that you are going to train, and you guys,
and some guys, yeah.
And you have a tournament this weekend,
mm-hmm.
And so you've been inspiring them to kill it. So I want to hear a story. I want you to tell me about a story of when you literally ripped a juggler out of somebody.
I mean, to begin, I've only like been working with them a couple days now since school just started. So I don't know if I'm inspiring them yet, but I'm definitely trying to be aggressive and encouraging them that they can do it this weekend because it's scary and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think any of them are watching, but still.
It's okay.
But, you know, like last year I was at the Yale Invitational, you know, more debate kind of jargon and stuff. Right. But I had this opponent who was like really high ranked in the nation and stuff. And I got the notification that I was about to debate him. And I was terrified. I was like, what is going to happen? Like, I am going to lose. And I'm not just going to lose, but I'm going to lose like horribly.
So what did you have to do to re-inspire yourself and to stand in your power? What did you have to do?
Well, he annoyed me in the round. Okay. And I think that was his first mistake, because then I got really like, not aggressive, but like I really came out. And I think that's when my speed got a lot better in that round. I got way more articulated, because I think when someone annoys you, suddenly all your thoughts come together really quickly and you're able to push it all out kind of thing. And afterwards, he was trying to justify why he lost to his friends and saying like, oh, I don't even know why I lost. And the judge, like afterwards, laid it out pretty clearly why he lost.
What was it that had him lose?
I mean, he lost most of the points where, like, I kind of won the points and articulated them better. And I called him out. My case then, I mean, a little expected, but I was talking about gender inequality in the context of revenge porn and, like, cybersecurity and stuff. And how
revenge porn. Okay.
Yeah, and, like, that cycle of, like, sexual assault online that's, like, starting recently with women and stuff. And, you know, he said a lot of, like terms in the round, he used a lot of rhetoric in the round that was a little demeaning, I think. And that was able to like fuel my kind of fire and like, you know, contesting all his points and addressing all of them and doing super well in that round, to the point that, you know, even he was annoyed and like,
he lost all focus.
Yeah. He was a little like confused as to like, whoa, this is the first round I've kind of lost in a while kind of thing. And kind of, hope maybe put him back into his playing field.
Absolutely. That's great.
Yeah. I hope I didn't upset him.
No. But that's also don't apologize for who you are and what you do. Right. Because you are committed to this, you know, gender equality. That's your area. So you never have to apologize for it. And the fact that you were well read and well schooled in that area is why you won.
Yeah.
So that's great. Awesome. So tell me, What would you say to a young person? I want to know, what is it like? So you've talked about women, but also I know that as a black woman, there's issues with black girls debating and there's issues with Asian girls debated. So tell me what do you see in those areas? And because you had done some studies about that as well.
Yeah. So I think if I were like continuing the study, the next point of interest would be intersectionality and trying to look at that.
So explain what intersectionality is for our listeners.
Trying to understand the different contexts of not just women, but women of different races and religions and backgrounds and how they express themselves in the debate field and all those different types of, you know, ways that they may feel that, you know, a white woman like me may not be able to understand fully.
Right.
But I think as a captain, like of my team, hopefully I can try my best to try to address it for my teammates kind of thing.
Right. So do you feel that like people of different colors have a lot of points against them when they're debating?
So I definitely do see that, especially for, you know, black and Latino women who are definitely underrepresented in the debate space. And, you know, just a lot of other academic spaces, sadly, like the STEM, for example, you know, just women in general, also like of all different races and backgrounds are underrepresented, which is something I think we need to work towards fighting and, you know, bringing these women in, because there's so much like intellect and inspiration and backgrounds and ideas within all of these different groups that like, I think we would be like a force to be reckoned with if we brought in all these different voices and stuff.
What do you think needs to be done to bring those voices in? Do you think it's economics? What do you think it is?
Economics is a big part of it, especially with, you know, people that are disproportionately poor, for example. It's hard to go into debate. Debate is a very like financially exhausting kind of activity where you're paying. You can go to local tournaments that are free, but the bigger tournaments are hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. People pay for coaching. People pay for, you know, summer programs to get even better at this type of skill. Mm-hmm. Or it almost becomes impossible for people from lower socioeconomic backgrounds to succeed in it. Mm-hmm. And also with research, if you look at all these different like opportunities, most of them are summer programs that mm-hmm. are thousands of dollars to be like taking part of, that most people don't have right. access to.
So what would you say to big business, so that they could actually make a difference, help make a difference? What would you ask them, want them to do?
So I think the first point of discussion would be encouraging, you know, girls, boys, whoever, to like reach out to people, you know, like reach out to that person, even if you don't think they'll answer, mm-hmm. whether it be like in research, reaching out to a professor or a scientist at a university because you want to work with them, mm-hmm. even if it is just cleaning dishes in their lab and mm-hmm. learning about how they conduct their research, mm-hmm. or, you know, reaching out to a lawyer in your area to like intern as a receptionist and learn about how they file their cases and mm-hmm. write their cases, and just whatever field you're interested in, trying to make these opportunities for yourself.
Right.
Because I think once you find these opportunities, a lot of people, what they tell me is like, how did you do that again? Because a lot of the like clubs and activities that I do aren't in school. Like right. I do all that honor society stuff and all those different like clubs that are inside the school, like Mathletes and all that kind of stuff. But like outside of school, like with the Borgen Project, I found that opportunity by myself
right.
and with my own accords. And right. I think if people, you know, like they search the web, because the web is truly one of the greatest resources we right. have nowadays, using that to find your opportunities would be so, so great.
And that's where you found us, right, Narbo?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so how many people did you reach out to before you bumped into me? How many people?
Not that many, because I had just finished the second part of the project mm-hmm. with the actual like conducting the debates and stuff mm-hmm. and the workplace like correlation, connecting it to that, like the clinical part of the study in May.
Mm-hmm.
So right after that, I was like connecting with different organizations and, you know, talking to my teachers about it. Mm-hmm. I had just finished a year of like, you know, I was presenting at some contests and stuff mm-hmm. where I did well with those. So, you know, still in the beginning of the process, I right. think, when reaching out to you.
So when you do a debate, do you actually win? What do you win?
You win the rounds, and the people that basically win the most rounds kind of, you know, break and become finalists mm-hmm. at a national tournament. Mm-hmm. If it's a local tournament like the one that I'm gonna have this weekend, mm-hmm. it's basically like if you win 3 out of the 4 rounds or win 4 of the rounds, you place as a finalist.
Right. And what do they give you? Do you get prize
a trophy
money? Oh, you get a trophy. Okay.
Money would be cool.
Y'all need
we don't
money.
Get money.
You need money because you need money to pay for the next thing.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Okay. So what would you tell somebody that is your age and that wants to be a speaker? What would you tell them?
I think connecting to people that are older than you and looking for these opportunities, first start locally. Like mm-hmm. it doesn't hurt to reach out to the clubs in your school if you're interested in gender empowerment, and maybe you have a gender empowerment club, or I work with Girls Learn International, reaching out to that kind of thing, or working with clubs like Girls Who Code, and, you know, all of these clubs are being created in our schools nowadays, and reaching out at that lower level first mm-hmm. and then, you know, working towards like getting to chapter meetings for that club. Like Girls Learn International is an international organization. Right. They have chapter meetings in New York City. You can, you know, network and go from there and like start from the bottom. That grassroots approach,
right,
it gets you somewhere. Right. It got me somewhere, I think. So
cool. You had mentioned at our talk that you wanted women to come together and not be sniping and backbiting each other. Say more about that.
I think that's really, really important to girls, especially like with social media becoming so, so prevalent. It become a lot of people, you know, use that platform in ways that shouldn't necessarily be used, because that platform, it does hold a lot of power, but it can also hold a lot of power in hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think using it to, you know, connect to men and bringing them into the movement, and also being actually, like, as cliche as it sounds, as empowering to other girls as possible, is the best way to like bring people together. And, you know, it really does make a difference when you're working together instead of trying to find differences. You know, the START study focused a lot on the problems mm-hmm. in the workforce and academia and debating and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what I brought to NABO after that study was the possible solutions,
right,
and trying to bridge that gap and talking to people, because I doubt like 99% of those people in the study were truly sexist.
Right.
It truly is a minority. Like the results showed like a lot of like sexist bias and sexist rhetoric being used and stuff. But I don't think the people are inherently bad.
Right.
I think if we work together, there's so much more that like brings us like, together.
It's mostly ignorance, not being able to see.
Yeah, because I think once I talked to the participants in the study with about like specifically the language they were using and the sexist connotations behind words like shrill and hostile and all those different types of words, mm-hmm. they were like, I didn't even subconsciously realize that I was using them more towards females, but mm-hmm. then men, they were just more competent or arrogant or aggressive, which sounds a lot less bad right. than, you know, whiny Definitely. Or shrill or right. bothersome, you know,
the shrill.
I was like, why shrill? Like, you couldn't Sounds even say terrible. Aggressive. Like,
right, right. So let's play a game here. Let's say it's 20, you're 25 now, and you've finished school, and you're now in the workforce. What would you like your ideal, and the world has changed, just say, right? We're playing a game. What would you like it to look like, feel like, taste like for you and the girls that are in your era and coming up?
So hopefully, I mean, I'll be done with college by then.
Right.
I'm not even going to say hopefully, like I will be Thank done you. With college by then and hopefully going into like law school and uh-huh. all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I would like to see a lot more women in power, mm-hmm. like in like the heads of organizations and mm-hmm. heads of like law forces and like government and bringing mm-hmm. more women into Congress and that kind mm-hmm. of stuff, especially like in government and kind of like maybe hopefully by then we'll have a female president for okay. all we know.
So you'd like to see a female president. You'd like to see more women in power.
Yeah.
You'd like to see more women in law enforcement. What else?
I think, you know, once we do that, it becomes a lot easier for girls as they grow up to see that they belong in these types of environments.
Mm-hmm.
Like being raised in a time when, you know, you don't think the 2000s are sexist, but like as a child, like thinking, you know, girls can't be president and knowing that that isn't true, but like thinking that as a, like a 4 or 5 year old, it isn't the right type of thing that girls should be raised under or
right.
telling them they don't belong in certain fields and stuff. But I hope like when I'm 25, when I'm 30, like when I'm hopefully raising kids at like 30, 35, that kind mm-hmm. of thing, that I'm raising them to believe that they belong in whatever they want to be in,
right.
like the arts, the sciences, so what medicine,
would,
whatever.
What would you, we have one more minute. Is this our last segment?
No.
Oh, okay. I got nervous there for a second because I'm all in. So I don't even see you guys. So let's take the break and then we'll come back.
Okay.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And my guest tonight is Megan Goal.
I really like the nickname.
You like Megan Mole?
It's okay.
Mole. And we're talking about gender biases. And yeah, she's amazing. So I wanted to know, you know, just looking at you as a 17-year-old, and one day you'll be mother, friends will be mothers, or if they choose this, right?
Yeah.
Because not everybody chooses that. Mm-hmm. How would you suggest or request that women and men together, parents, raise their children?
Well, I mean, teaching girls that gender equality doesn't encompass one thing.
Right.
So, like, allowing your girls to have whatever ideas they want, you know, even like politically, like you can be empowered as a Republican, you can be empowered as a Democrat, you mm-hmm. know, not all feminists or gender empowered ladies have to just be, you know, progressive Democrats. You can be like fiscally conservative and, right. you know, be like a feminist or like empowered and that kind of thing. And I mean, I'm not personally, but like, you know, seeing other girls on the other side of the aisle, like my age, that are like also politically aware, that like aren't seen as worthy mm-hmm. of being feminists or being empowered women because they are more conservative,
right.
you know, getting rid of biases like that. And just, you know, that's one aspect of it, but teaching girls that they can flourish in whatever they want to be part of,
right.
and, you know, be gender empowered in whatever they want to be a part of. It can be in sports, and you can wear your cool like fashions and stuff and still be like an intellectual and an academic woman and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And just allowing,
or you can be a woman that like still is, you know, dresses and looks really great in her clothes and is really into fashion and she plays football.
Yeah. Just allowing women to be whatever type of woman they want to be mm-hmm. or whoever they want to be, and having that garden to grow and like allow your ideas to flourish, even if it is the smallest kind of thing. Like starting young in school kind of thing is the best way to start. You know, a lot of girls are taught when they're young that they have to be versatile, they have to flourish in every single little thing, whereas guys are more so, hey, if I'm into science, I'm going to take all the hard science classes, but I'm not going to really take hard history or English classes because I'm interested in what I want to be interested right. in. Let girls focus on what they want to be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell them that they have to look versatile for colleges.
Right.
They have to be this for someone else. They have to wear this for someone else to right. look professional. Let them be whoever they want to be,
right.
especially in academics. You know, if you want to be a history major, take those history classes. You don't have to take college math classes simultaneously because you feel stressed that colleges want to see that from you.
Right.
Colleges want to see whoever you want to be.
Right.
And awesome. I think that's really like impactful right now, because a lot of my friends and, you know, peers are going through this college application process right now.
Right.
Too, so.
And you're applying to 20 colleges.
Yes. I cannot reveal the schools.
No, I'm not asking you to reveal that. But 20 just seems like, whoa.
Yeah.
A lot.
It's a lot of schools.
So what's a question that you would like me to ask you that I haven't asked? What's something that you want somebody to ask you? And I'll ask you. Tell me what it is, and I'll ask you that.
Oh, I don't really know.
You don't really know.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I think of like very weird questions. Like,
go ahead,
like, give it to me. Like, I don't think of, you know, these profound kind of questions. I'm, like, the first thing that comes to my head is like, what's your favorite kind of food?
But
like, maybe that's the 17-year-old in me.
No, it's you. What is your favorite kind of food?
Sushi.
You like sushi? I love sushi.
I like sushi.
Too.
Sushi's pretty good.
And what do you like to do on the weekends? What do you do?
I mean, usually I'm at some sort of like debate takes up a lot of time.
Right.
Hopefully not as much senior year with like things dying down after applications. Hopefully more kind of stuff like I'm doing right now and like working with NABO and like
right.
future opportunities like that kind of thing. I'm working with the Borgen Project. That
mm-hmm.
takes up a lot of hours of every single week
mm-hmm.
where, you know, I'm lobbying and working with congressmen in my area and
mm-hmm.
like those in New York and stuff to try to fundraise and, you know, get funds for like trying to pass legislation and stuff. But I mean, like other hobbies, I really like music. Mm-hmm. I don't talk
what
about
kind of music
it a lot.
Do you like?
I like, honestly, I like all kinds of music.
Right.
I do like rap. I'm not as much into pop
uh-huh.
because, you know, it's
who's
overplayed.
Who's your favorite rapper?
I don't know. I like J. Cole. I like
okay.
J. Cole a lot of the time.
I've heard his name, but I don't know what he sings. Is that the one that with the cowboy?
No.
No, it's not that one.
No, not that one.
You know, well, the song.
Not quite.
I know the song, but I can never think of it.
Like, I would sing it, but I don't want to. I don't want to go through that kind of embarrassment.
Right, okay, so J. Cole. So he's rapper, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what else do you like?
He's pretty cool. You know, I always say I hate country. Like, honestly, if you really do put on country, and
I like
don't
country.
And I don't hate it, you know, I'll listen to it.
I like country. I like country more, makes you move.
Yeah, I think like my favorite type of like soulful kind of genre is like anyone that sounds like Amy Winehouse.
Oh, she's cool. Like, so you would
she's
like?
She's my vibe. I think she's my type of music.
Sheila Jones. Sheila Jones, I heard her yesterday. My friend Gabrielle turned me on to a singer called Sheila Jones. She's not longer with us. She died. But she died of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. But look her up. She's like, Amy Winehouse is probably really loved her genre and took that music on. So she's really interesting. I'm going to get into her.
I think she's like a revolutionary like singer, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so you like Amy Winehouse. You like jazz?
Yeah, I like jazz. I mean, I don't listen to jazz that much, but like, I like a lot of music that sounds like Amy Winehouse, Jin Wigmore. She's like a singer from New Zealand that kind of has that like grungy, kind of soulful kind of vibe that to her music that's like kind of scary sometimes, but you know, like really kind of hits you when you're like listening to it.
So as a 17-year-old in today's world, what's the thing that most frightens you?
I wouldn't say I'm frightened by it.
Concerned you then?
Concerned. I honestly like the political climate right now.
What is that like for you, just having to experience that?
I think just looking at myself, I'm a lot more understanding and open to different ideas than a lot of people. But I feel like everyone's saying we're so stuck in our own two sides, but it truly does come from both sides of the political aisle. And I think you can kind of understand from our conversation where I stand on the political aisle, but still like trying to actually talk to people on the other side. And, you know, I have friends, like most of my friends are like on the left, like I am, but, you know, trying to understand how those on the right kind of feel and stuff. And, you know, understanding that this is part of the political process, that like arguments are inherent to like the American like nature, American culture, and it's what's going to drive us forward. Having these discussions right now where everyone is so fueled and on one side, I think is going to push us eventually to a better place. Like, I'm trying to see the optimistic part of it, because I know like America is so much greater than this. There's so much that brings us together. Like, I think if I went out to dinner with like the biggest Trump supporter, we would probably more so talk about like the food we like or the music we like that we're talking about right now, not just, you know, the things we hate about each other. Like, what type of dinner would it be if I came to talk to you about what we hated about each other, kind of thing?
I don't think it'd be much of a dinner.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a very long dinner.
Exactly. I think we'd get either punch each other out or we'd just, you know, get up and leave. But so you're concerned about the climate. Anything else? What else are you guys, you know, concerned about? And what do you talk about in school other than schoolwork, but like boys and things like that?
Schoolwork is pretty, like, my school's pretty like competitive and stuff at like the level that we're at and stuff. So honestly, kind of stays at schoolwork, but I think like staying in that political kind of arena, but like climate change is like a lot of young people are actually really thinking about the effects of it and not just like, oh, maybe this politician will create something, like actually wanting politicians to step up right now, whoever it is. It doesn't need to be one specific person on one side of the aisle, but having everyone come together and try to work towards it now. And like, personally, like having, I think my generation is a lot more green than other people that may just be like self-righteousness that people like in their youth may have. But I don't know. As a vegetarian, I try to stay like pretty green and stuff. Yeah, I'm a vegetarian.
So one thing that you said that you love, fashion.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite designer? Or do you have a favorite designer?
Chanel is pretty iconic. I really do like Opening Ceremony. That's a really cool company that I think is on like the forefront of fashion right now. I think Dior is doing pretty well on their runway recently.
Oh, so you were in tune with Fashion Week?
Yeah, I do keep up. I keep up a little bit. I mean, Chanel has always been like a big inspiration because I think they have this like chic and poshness that cannot be replaced.
Like, so it's like a
long live Karl Lagerfeld.
Yes. It's like a chic poshness, but also very feminine.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you like about it.
Like, you know how there's like the Spice Girls, like there's like Mel B, what was she, like the Angry Spice? I don't know. Scary Spice. And like Posh Spice.
Right.
Victoria Beckham, like put them together. And I think that's like that's the coolest style. Kind of fashion.
So we have, this is our last segment, is it not? Oh, damn it to hell. So this is our last segment. And I just want to thank you so much for writing that email.
Thank you so much for really answering it.
Asking to volunteer. But honestly, I could not allow you to serve meals and move chairs. You've done a lot of work. I think that you're going to make a real difference in the world. And I want you to keep your head up. I want you to be you. And I want to thank you. And I want to thank your parents for bringing you into this world and letting you flourish. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. So we're signing off. Say goodbye.
Bye.
This is Noreen signing off from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.